vessel while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and very pleased to be sitting with an old friend. Vin Fraioli is here from Edge Realty RI. Welcome, Vin. Nice to have you on the program.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again, and what we're going to do is find out a little bit about your background, which is very, very interesting. For those of you listening that don't know Vin, he has an amazing background. So let's start from the beginning. A Rhode Island guy?
Providence, Rhode Island, yep.
Providence, Rhode Island, which is, that's still in Rhode Island. That's still part of it. And your name and my name are similar in that we both have a
vowel.
Well, yeah, we have vowels at the end. We're Italian-Americans.
Right.
You grew up in what section of Providence?
I grew up in Smith Hill, believe it or not.
Smith Hill.
And not Federal Hill.
Not Federal. That's all right. Smith Hill, great section. And you went to school in Providence, then decided to go to college, or you got involved with music. What happened to you first? Let's start with there.
Good question. If I had my own way, I probably would have stayed home and never come out. But just joking. I was born on Ruggles Street off of Smith, and I went to Ruggles Street School. I walked right across the street to our elementary school. And then we walked all the way down to Camden Avenue and went to school there. I went to Green, then I went to Classical. And the Classical High School was probably the pinnacle of my education. It was like being in the intellectual Marines over there.
Hmm.
And then I sauntered over to URI and then ended up, is an odd, I just read an application that I had written to a college that I wanted to write for theater. That was my whole thing, but I was already a professional musician when I was 16.
Yeah, I was going to say, where did the music part of it come in? Was that elementary school or junior high school or even earlier?
Elementary school. I started 9 years old.
And playing the guitar.
Yep. I remember walking home and telling my parents I want to study guitar. I was nine.
Now, did you want to be a Beatle or did you want to be, what spurred you on to becoming into the music world?
I don't know. I think it was Elvis Presley.
Elvis, okay.
Probably, well,
that's a good, thank you very much. That's a good reason to get involved. Okay, and so now you're involved, you're playing guitar, and just finishing classical high school, thinking about theater. So you're not a shy guy.
No. It's funny. The two-minute version of my life is I loved music. I played guitar. My teacher was Mr. Pettirudi, who was famous in his own right. He's the dad of Bob Pettirudi, bass player, and also kind of the godfather of Bobby Hackett, the trumpet player.
Oh yeah.
So I was playing in nightclubs when I was in high school and college. I put myself through college that way, and then I just wanted to study classical guitar because I loved classical music, and I studied classical guitar as a hobby. And 4 years later, I ended up studying with probably the best teacher in the world, and I got a Carnegie Recital Hall debut out of that. New York Times Review, came back to Rhode Island. People wanted me to teach at, URI. I taught at URI. I taught at RIC. I was artist in residence for the state. And but I still had this nagging desire to write. And I went to Columbia University for the creative writing program. But then no one knew this. I was teaching it, at these schools in music, but no one knew I was going to
Columbia on the side, so to speak.
On the side. I would take the train, go for full-time, couple of days, and come back to my new two-year-old daughter, Juliana, and my wife, and I went back to school, teaching. And that lasted until I realized that teaching was not the way to support a family. So I got dragged into real estate by my neighbor across the street, who was a RISD grad, and he was in real estate. So he said, look at all the money I'm making, and how much are you making? And I said, okay. So
So that got you into real estate, and was that the creation at that time of Edge Realty RI, or did that come later?
That came later. I was in real estate for the first year. I worked for one of the big companies, which was very structured, and then I worked 1 year for a small artistic company, and I when I walked in to that office, I said, you know, this really is my style, this very creative, very artistic, colorful. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, I did very well. And then I started Edge Realty the third year.
Okay.
On an inspiration. Let's say it was totally inspired because I lived in Edgewood.
So that's where Edge Realty came from. I thought it was because you were razor sharp.
Thank you very much. Right.
Okay, so Edge Realty started about how many years ago?
1990,
okay. And going ever since. And one of the things that's very unique about Edge Realty is that all the people that work with you, and I say with you, because they're mostly family and friends, right?
Yeah, it's I drummed up the company maybe 8 years ago by myself. I had taken 5 years off, but we'll talk about that later on. And then my kids joined me, Juliana, my daughter, Ryan, her husband, my son Alexander, his wife Katya. Little by little, you know, my family got involved, and then we grew. Joining us are my fiance Gladys and her future daughter-in-law Grace, mm-hmm. and then there's Jay and Jess, who are the brothers and sister-in-law of my son-in-law. I mean, it sounds like a real alphabet soup, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like...
Speaking about vowels, right?
Right, yeah.
But we have a Wilson involved, so...
Okay.
You need a consonant in the mix.
Right, there you go. Now, always in the Cranston area, or did that change?
That changed. Way back when, we had an office in Edgewood. And then I opened one in Wickford, right in the village. And then through the years, it evolved where we bought a wonderful location, a building at the corner of Bonnet Shores and Boston Neck Road. And that's our main office.
In what town?
In Narragansett.
In Narragansett, okay. And so now still in Narragansett?
Yeah.
That's where people find you now most of the time.
Most of the time. We opened another small office on Thames Street in Newport.
Okay.
So we have two offices. But we cover, we're very strong in this area in South County. But we also still have our roots in, you know, the northern part, Providence, Edgewood, Cranston, Warwick. We have other agents who are in other parts of the state.
Yeah, you go anywhere. I mean, as a matter of fact, we had a personal relationship where you sold a house for my mother-in-law in Pawtucket.
So, yeah.
All over the place.
Right? And that was fun doing that. And she's a hot ticket, as we say in Providence.
It's always nice when you can have fun doing your work, right? It's like I do. I have the world's best job. You might have the second best, but I have the world's best job.
Yeah, I love people. And that was, I'm the kind of guy that if I'm on a plane, you know, I know like five people when I get off the plane.
Everybody's sitting around you, right?
Well, it's true. And I have people visiting, you know, from around the world who I've met sitting next to them on a flight. Mm-hmm. And you can call it slightly being gregarious and open. I just like people. So real estate was just it was perfect for me.
All right, so we now know where you came from. We know a little bit about your musical history and a little bit about your family history. And let's get to the nitty-gritty of real estate and talk about things that people are, you know, interested when they... First off, do you find that most people are well-educated when they want to sell a house, or they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing? What's your barometer on that?
Well, the majority are somewhat familiar with the process, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhat. And then there's a small, there are some people who don't know, you know, they don't know anything. And
yeah, I'm sure you run across someone who's been living in the house for 30 or 40 years and they say, I never knew I was going to sell it, but now I need to, right?
Right.
And that's, you have the ability to walk them through that and say, well, here's step one, right? Come and call me.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that I was a teacher for so long is, you approach a subject or a concept. In my case, a lot of times I was teaching, you know, physical, you know, teaching guitar, which is physical, or say interpretation of a musical piece or something like that. But you know, you you open it up to the large concept, and then step by step, as you say, and familiarize someone with the process, so it's not scary. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can get overwhelming. I try not to get overwhelming with the process, because so much of it is emotional, not just intellectual.
Yeah, emotional from a standpoint, if in a situation I just described, somebody's been living there for a long time and now they have to sell for whatever reason, whether they want to downsize or whether they're just moving out of the area or whatever reason, can be pretty traumatic in some cases.
Yeah, and sometimes exciting. So
I'm sure exciting. It's probably more exciting the other way around when you have someone that's young and looking to buy their first house, right?
Yes.
That can be pretty exciting and daunting at the same time.
Yes, and first-time buyers are always fun for me. Mm-hmm. Because it is really the first time. It's clueless. People don't know what a mortgage is I remember buying a house the first time. I didn't know what a mortgage was. I mean,
right.
I looked like I did when I signed the papers.
Pretended,
like I did. In fact, Channel 10 was standing outside waiting to interview my former wife and myself, because we were a rarity buying a house in 1980.
Hmm.
Because the housing market was still, and I guess there was a depression, and so it was a big deal, and people were talking about interest rates, et cetera, and look at this young couple buying their first house.
Yeah, and things have changed so dramatically since then. Now, my first house that I bought was 1971, and it was a nice suburban Cape Cod-style house in Warwick, a nice neighborhood, and my entire mortgage payment, along with taxes included, was $102 a month.
Wow. And you paid $55,000 for the house, right?
It was less. Yeah, actually, it was a little. It was less than that. Yeah, yeah. But things have changed dramatically now. You can't buy a car for that almost anymore.
No.
So is the part of your education when someone comes to you for the first time, trying to get them to understand that it's not going to be, you know, walk in tomorrow and move in the next day?
Yes, yes. I talk about the intuitive and the intellectual or the rational. So buying a house, of course, is emotional, right? It's like, and I get a kick out of some people who show up with clipboards, you know, as we call them, the engineer type. Mm-hmm. And they're checking this off and checking that off. And one time I asked someone, I said, did you meet your wife that way? Did you have a clipboard when you...
Your blonde hair... 5'6", okay.
Yeah.
Checked it all off, right?
Yeah, so in other words, you approach walking into a house, and I always, you have to walk into a house. It's a shoe you have to try on, you know, completely. And it's a feeling, it's an intuition, right? It's an instinct. How does the house face? Does light coming in from the west or the east? Do you like wood? I said, and then the rational takes over, you know, the pricing of the house. Is it, are they asking too much for the house? Are they asking too little? So then that comes when we take people through that process. You find a house. Then what you do is, I'm giving you a small lesson right now. You do the comparables, mm-hmm. called the comps.
Right.
The house across the street, how much did it sell for? The one in back, how does it compare? Right. Is it a three bed? Is it a single level? And you give it the context. You put it in the context of what is it worth? And a very... striking question that I ask all the time is, what is your exit strategy? If you've had to move, you get transferred, etc., could you get your money back that you're paying? And then it is another benefit from that is, like I always say, are you going to love every minute you're living in this house, waking up, coming home to it? These are all very important issues. Person who has a job which they're always getting transferred, or the military, et cetera, really has to keep the exit strategy in mind all the time.
Yeah.
You want to buy, if you're moving the analogy, if you're buying a four-door car, you know, people with groceries and kids, that's an easy sell. If you buy a two-door car or a three-door car, that's more of a custom, so that's a little more difficult or a little more challenging to sell.
So a lot of things involved with making preparations to take that first step. We're going to get a little more detailed with some of this in just a few minutes. Take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Edge Realty RI and Vin Fraioli. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, having a very pleasant morning, sitting with Vin Fraioli of Edge Realty RI. And Vin, one of the things I like to do at the in the beginning of this next segment that we've started is give people information about your website, so if they want to check it out while they're listening, they can do that.
Absolutely.
And that is?
www.edgerealtyri.com.
Wow, that's a tough website to remember.
I know.
Edgerealty.com. Okay, that's good. It's good that you got that. You would think that that kind of a name would be relatively common throughout the United States or throughout the world, but
it is. There are a lot of edges now since we started this company.
Yeah, and if they'd like to call the office at some point in time, you can. They can reach you by calling 401 what?
The company number is 401-783-1007.
1007.
Yes.
Wow. You look like kind of a 007 kind of guy.
I'm a man from Uncle kind of guy, I think, better. I have a cleft in my chin like Mr. Vaughn.
Yep. Richard Vaughn and David McCallum and Han Solo and all the, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. We've done a little nostalgia for people now. They're all on a different track. Let's get back to the real estate track. And one of the things I find interesting that we talked about during the break is your background in music and your whole family's involvement in artistic endeavors. One might think that leads to an interesting observation as a real estate person, because a real estate person has to be able to listen, right?
Absolutely.
And that's a big factor. And I'm sure that that's something that you and your people are very good at.
Well, thank you. We are. I mean, you listen to the radio, right?
Right.
And you listen to music. And one thing that I know that to listen well is really a gift. And you not just listen, but you absorb what people are saying, in the sense of what they're saying, and the sense of what they're saying by not saying something. And that's how we get to know our customers and our clients and people. And I also think there's a sympathetic nature to being in the arts and being in music that is not just the you're not in some kind of a beehive or a stall of business. It's more of a comforting situation,
mm-hmm.
sitting on a couch rather than sitting on a hard bench.
Well, there you go. Right. You know, with all of today's myriad of channels on television, there's all kinds of home improvement shows and all kinds of real estate shows and Love It or List It and all these different things that have come along. And I'm always amazed whenever I catch one of those that sometimes the real estate person is taking them to a house that they have no intention. They don't want to see it. It's over budget. And why would they do that? That's always bugged me, talking about listening, right? If I want to spend $250,000, don't show me a $400,000 house, right?
Yes. However, there's a technique. There's a broker, no names mentioned, once told me that she would show a house, and you've heard this before, I'm sure, show the really, really difficult ones first, right? And she knew that the customer would just recoil, right? And the last one that she wanted to sell, she would say that for last.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like easing the pain.
So, but people can come to you and say, I want to spend $250,000. Don't make me try to spend $400,000, right?
Right. Although, again, you have to listen to what they're saying.
Right.
One person told me, I said, well, give me your wish list. It's very important, your wish list. Everything, you know.
Start with that.
Start with that. Give me the wish list. Do you have a dog? Do you have a – what kind of a – what kind of magazines do you want your neighbors to be reading? That's one question.
Wow, that's interesting. Well,
yeah, I mean, people, that's going to tell you. If someone's reading The New Yorker, you're going to have a kind of certain...
Yeah, different, yeah.
And you know the coffee's going to be better in that neighborhood, right? And you have someone reading Guns and Ammo. I mean, and how's the coffee going to be in that neighborhood?
Right.
So okay. it's to describe the wish list. And I had one person tell me one time, I am not going to buy a ranch house. I hate ranch houses. And what do you think they bought?
A ranch house.
A ranch house, yeah. So you listen, but you really have
to... sometimes people don't know what they...
Exactly.
They have an impression, you know, like, oh, I don't want to live in Narragansett. That's out in the boondocks. I don't, you know, but then they see it and they fall in love with it.
Yeah, I just sold a house. I love Wakefield, for instance. And this guy calls me and he says, I want a house for my son. So I tell me something about your son. What does he like to do? And I had an idea of Wakefield. It was a perfect setting for him. But they wanted to see houses in Bristol and houses here and houses mm-hmm. there. But we ended up buying in Wakefield. And I've had people call me from overseas. And what do you, you know, I have to find a house. Actually, I've found houses for people who have hands I've never shaken. I mean, over the phone, a woman from Florida gave me a price range and I found her a house in Narragansett. But she said you hit it on the head. You listen to what I'm saying.
Well, you have to do that. Yeah, it's a wonderful attribute. And now, let me back up a little bit. When you say you need a wish list and you find out a little bit about their background, is that right off the bat? Is that like your first session with you? Should people do other things? If they're trying to sell a house, do they get in touch with an inspector? Or do you handle all those kind of details and give them a kind of a checklist of things they have to do?
No, we do handle that. I mean, from okay. soup to nuts, so to speak. Had a first phone call from an engineer, lawyer engineer, told me he wanted to sell his house and buy a house, and he was afraid about the interim of renting, etc. So I said, look, we have to orchestrate this. I wanted to find out what they wanted to do. He wanted to build a house and how to make the equation from starting the process of selling his house and to moving on the rental and the interim rental and then to building a house. And we did it mm-hmm. in that first conversation.
Wow. Now,
8 months later, he said to me, Vinny, he said, you know, I remember that first conversation and we followed it. We followed it almost to the T, but that we both were in sync. They listened to what I had to offer. I listened to what they had to request, and it worked out really well. Really well.
Right. Now, do you ever get involved? You mentioned interim, in other words, rental. Do you handle helping them with that too, if that comes up?
Yes. Our company handles all aspects of real estate, including rental.
Okay.
Because of our location in Narragansett, you can imagine it's crazy. I mean, we do have a rental department, and that's very challenging. You have to really be on the ball for that, and those rental people work very, very hard. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to handle rentals, in my opinion, than to sell, you know, to sell a home.
Now, if someone has a home that they've been in for a while, and I'm sure you've had this example, and they're saying, you know, maybe I'd like to take some time off and travel a little bit. Can I rent my house? How do I go about that? They can get in touch with you for that too.
Absolutely. Yep. What I suggest is, for people to know, you have to know where you're standing first. So I always recommend find out what your home is worth right now in the market, and then we kind of not upgrade the perspective, but check on it once in a while because the market's always changing.
Sure.
Coming, you know, this season started out with an incredible pent up impetus. It just went crazy. Yeah. So find out what your house is worth. Find out, talk to a mortgage person, which we also, you know, guide people to mortgage, good mortgage people. Find out what your potential is. Look at the certain aspects of using home equity to buy a house or going on for instance, some people are veterans, they can go on a VA loan, which is no money down. Find out that, where you stand in your status with that. And so you have that all the time in your portfolio, mm-hmm. at least your knowledge, when you catch up to speed of where you're coming from to where you're going,
right?
For a buyer or a seller.
Yeah, that's an important thing. Where do you want to end up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And post end up too. Like if you have to sell or you want to retire, you want to move to Europe or something. I mean, what are the? This might be your dream home, but also at least I always say, you know, again, getting back to exit strategy, what is your, you know,
Okay. How about people that have problems with houses? They got a bad roof, or they got a, you know, they got a bad septic system, or they have water damage, or you know, things like that. Do you advise them as to get these things fixed ahead of time, or just sell the house as is, or it depends?
It certainly depends. Some people, it's funny. This is like an old adage in the business. Mm-hmm. People care about that bathrooms and kitchens.
Right.
No one cares about, do I have a new boiler? Do I have a new roof? A new roof becomes important if there's an inspection and the inspector says the roof is bad and has to be replaced. For $8,000 is one thing. For $320,000, as it took. And
as I know about.
Right, exactly. That's another thing. But so we do guide in all of those areas in terms of the, say, the personal view, the, again, getting back to the intuitive, the and there's the concrete of the mortgage finding, the mm-hmm. inspection finding, what you should replace, what you shouldn't replace. I mean, you see a lot of times there are certain rules you follow when you're showing a house. You don't have a you don't have your kitty litter box in the front hallway when you're showing
and
a house.
And your dirty laundry on the floor.
Exactly. political posters, take them down. No
well,
kidding.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, I mean, right
I
now.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, just
very
don't.
Very divisive or,
yeah.
or other ways, you know, like you're either pro-abortion or anti-abortion. Don't have those signs up either, right?
Yeah, just make the house like an open canvas, a clear canvas so someone can paint their own, they can paint themselves into that canvas mm-hmm. rather than, you know, shoving them outside with your own personal stuff. But we do, you can consult with us about all aspects of real estate, personal and the numbers, inspections, a closing attorney, workmen. We have trusted people that we can recommend, you know, to people. So we do that. After having done this for 30-something years, I mean, I think I know what I'm doing at this point.
Right.
As many of us in the office are. I mean, it's and actually sometimes we end up helping people without selling their homes. They call us just for advice, which is we always welcome.
Well, I mean that's you're not going to make a lot of money that way, but community involvement is important. I know that you mentioned to me before we taped today that you always like the company to be a little bit community responsible, maybe as helping out in various areas, right?
We do that. I mean, we do that gladly, and that's what I like. The people aspect of that, and being a bunch of people who have a background in, you know, different areas, I think the whole our family and friends oriented office is that way to the outside world. That's people can come in and, you know, if they just have a question, they can they can do that.
Well, if you have a question, I can highly recommend Vin Fraioli and Edge Realty RI. And the website's easy to find. It's the same name as the company, edgerealtyri.com, right?
Yes.
And Vin Fraioli is the man and his family that's involved with it. Vin, we could talk for hours, I'm sure. Unfortunately, we have like a minute to recap. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I helped your family sell their home, and you're still talking to me.
There you go. It was a great experience. Yeah, a great experience. All right, Vin, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see the rest of you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's presentation of Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, hoping you have a great weekend.